Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Today we will be celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So those who are joining us online may wish to have some bread and wine or cordial prepared in order that you can share in the sacrament. This is Pentecost Sunday, the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. On the reverse of the order of service, you will find opening responses. I will say, "Come, Holy Spirit," and you are invited to respond, if you wish, by saying the words in bold print. Come, Holy Spirit.
The wind of God, the breath of life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
And have
come, Holy Spirit.
Transform
and renew us by your power. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory hymn 588 to the tune Regent Square. Praise the Spirit in creation. Spirit of truth, fill our minds. Spirit of Christ, fill our hearts. Spirit of power and holiness, revive your church. Spirit of love and peace, lead all nations into your kingdom. Let us pray. Spirit of God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we rejoice that as you came to the disciples long ago, so you come afresh to us today. You come releasing unimagined potential. You come imparting unexpected gifts. You come to equip and empower your people for service in the church and in the world. Lord God, on this day of joy and wonder, we praise you for the new life you breathe into us. And we thank you that through the Holy Spirit we can look to the future, not with fear, but with confidence. Lord Jesus Christ, ascended on high, yet our companion on earth, we confess there are times when we quench the work of your Spirit by our complacency and lack of imagination. And we acknowledge we are hesitant to listen to you, lest you should disturb us or challenge our way of doing things. Almighty God, in every age you speak to your people. Encourage us today to step forward in faith and to use the gifts that you have kindly given to us. Help us to be strengthened by your Spirit, and as you graciously forgive us our sins, transform and renew us, that we may truly be a people who see beyond the limited horizons of many, a people who are steadfast in our commitment, and a people who make room for you to display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Just a few announcements. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be available in the church following the service today. Please do remain behind if you can for a further time of fellowship. Volunteers to help tidy and maintain the grounds around the church are invited to gather tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. The Finance and Property Committee will meet on Tuesday at 2. Stirling Kirks Together are hosting a friendship lunch in Park Church Hall on Wednesday at 12 noon, and all will be welcome. The Craft Group will meet in the parish halls on Thursday at 2. And next Sunday we will have a family service at 10:30, followed by a further time of fellowship in the parish halls, and jam will be on sale next week at the fellowship tea. A reminder to the elders that the Kirk session will meet in the parish halls a week on Tuesday at 7:30. Now, I've got something here. I wonder if you can guess what this might be. Can anyone guess what might be in here? A cake. Well done. Well done. I've been up since 5 o'clock this morning baking this cake. Please don't ask me what ingredients I used. Who likes coffee cake? Quite a few. Well, you'll be disappointed. Who likes cream cake? Quite a few. You'll be disappointed. Who likes carrot cake? Quite a few. Yep, you're disappointed as well. Who likes chocolate cake? It's chocolate cake, because that's my favourite. So I wasn't going to make any other type. I don't know why that thing's around the cake there. I don't know where that came from. So you can see this beautiful, beautiful chocolate cake. Didn't I make a good job? Now, let's be honest. It just looks like any other chocolate cake. There's nothing special or unique about it. But what if I put some candles onto it? Does that make it different? Does that make it special? What does that make it if we put candles onto the cake? Yes? A birthday cake. Well done. So, here we are. We have a birthday cake. Now, you might be wondering, why on earth does Gary have a cake in the church today? Can anyone guess? Someone up here? Someone's birthday. That's a good guess. Is it anyone's birthday today? Oh, that's a shame. You would have got some cake if it was. Today's a very special day in the history, the life of the worldwide church. There's a special name. Pentecost. Pentecost. We are told that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were together in one place. And they heard a sound like a strong driving wind. It was very, very loud. And then they saw something quite remarkable. It was like tongues of fire coming down and resting on each one of them. It was a remarkable experience. And we are told that those disciples who had been sad because Jesus had left them to go back to heaven, and afraid because they feared that what happened to Jesus would happen to them, well, as a result of what happened, the coming of the Holy Spirit resting upon them and within them, they were no longer sad, and they were no longer afraid. They had been changed. They were transformed. And out they went onto the streets of Jerusalem and the surrounding villages and towns. And they told whoever they met about Jesus. That was the day of Pentecost. And that day marked the beginning of the church. The day the Holy Spirit came. And so today is the church's birthday. And that's why I have a cake here. Now, I've got to confess, I didn't make it. So if you want a wee bit of it later at the tea and the coffee, you'll be very welcome and you'll be very safe. Now, I'm not going to light the candles on the cake, but I'm going to light this candle that is sitting on the communion table as a reminder of the flames of fire, what seemed like flames of fire that came and rested on each of the disciples on the day of Pentecost. We're going to sing the hymn 600, Spirit of God Unseen as the Wind.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and you'll find that on page 101 of the Pew Bible. So that's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky what sounded like a strong, driving wind, a noise which filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them flames like tongues of fire distributed among them and coming to rest on each one. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk to each other in tongues as the Spirit gave them the power of utterance. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, devout Jews drawn from every nation under heaven. At this sound, a crowd of them gathered and were bewildered because each one heard his own language spoken. They were amazed and in astonishment, exclaimed, "Surely these people are all Galileans. How is it that each of us can hear them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, of Judea and Cappadocia, of Pontus and Asia, of Phrygia and Pamphylia, of Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, all of us hear them in our own language, the great things God has done." They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What can this mean?" Others said contemptuously, "They have been drinking." But Peter stood up amongst the 11 and in a loud voice addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, listen and take note of what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what the prophet Joel spoke of. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show portents in the sky above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a pall of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before that great resplendent day, the day of the Lord shall come. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord on that day shall be saved." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Callum. Like fireworks in the night, the Holy Spirit came. We worship God in hymn 584. 584. We sometimes talk about Pentecost as if it was a normal event, but of course it wasn't. It was bizarre, and I'm sure the disciples must initially have been completely bamboozled by what happened. They were gathered together in one place. So much had happened in the preceding weeks, with Jesus' death, then his resurrection, then his appearances, and then his ascension to heaven. It must have been good for the disciples simply to be able to pause, catch their breath, and to talk. But then, in fulfillment of his promise, God sent the Holy Spirit upon them. What sounded like driving wind filled the whole house. Flames like tongues of fire touched and rested in each one of them. And remarkably, they began to speak in different languages. Normal? It was anything but. Indeed, others hearing them were convinced they had overindulged and were drunk. But Peter assured them that was not the case. The Holy Spirit had come. The gift that Jesus had spoken about shortly before he left them was now theirs. And what an impact it had on them. But what does all this have to say to us today? Is Pentecost simply something we can look back at and marvel at as a great event, but that's it? In other words, is it something that we commemorate as we do the anniversary of some event or other? Or can we do more? Can we be encouraged as rather than commemorate, we celebrate the fact that the same Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost is present and with us today? I greatly enjoy and value being a minister, but if there's an aspect of the ministry that I find particularly rewarding, it is the pastoral. The privilege of being with people at various times in their lives, times that are often challenging. And it's amazing how many people at such challenging times have said to me that they have found strength and encouragement through remembering people that they have known who faced similar challenges to them and who were able to deal with them. And as a consequence, they did not give up, hard though it was. They felt somehow comforted and reassured by the example of others. I believe the Holy Spirit brings to our minds the memory of Christian people down through the ages, of the first disciples, and of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus who said, "I will be with you always." As we today think of him and those who have followed him in every age, I ask, can we not also be strengthened and encouraged? As in our own times of joy and sorrow, trial and triumph, we endeavour to follow Christ today and to be the people he calls us to be. Can we not also be comforted and reassured by the knowledge that we are most definitely not alone? And so today we celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit. But there's more that we can say about the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit constituted the first disciples as the church, the body of Christ, that they might continue his work in the world. Now, isn't it true that sometimes we can be very parochial in our outlook? We think of the church as this congregation or that. But we are so much more than any one congregation. The church is made up of people from all around the world, quite literally from every nation under heaven. Isn't that wonderful, just when you think about it for a moment? The church is not only St. Ninian's Old or the Church of Scotland. The church is the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Now, if you take any body or group of people, invariably there will be differences of opinion and outlook. That is perfectly natural. And so it is within the worldwide church. Worship patterns vary. The Bible is understood in different ways. There are various views on the sacrament of Holy Communion and how often it should be celebrated. And yet, far from being a weakness, this diversity of opinion and outlook can actually be a great strength. Our diversity is what makes us the people we are. But what marks us out as different from any other group of people is that the Holy Spirit binds us together as one. And can I put it to you that our unity is key in our witness and outreach. United we stand, divided we fall. We're all familiar with that saying. It's so relevant when we think of the world and people's relationships, how people can be together one day and so polar apart the next. What about Trump and Musk? We saw that one coming, didn't we? We are to be different. The Holy Spirit binds us together and holds us together in what is known as his high priestly prayer. Jesus prayed that his followers would be as one. And therefore, we listen to each other with respect. We acknowledge our diversity. We celebrate our unity through the Holy Spirit. I was at a meeting not so long ago, and the moderator put it very well. He said, it's all right for us within the Christian family to disagree. That's healthy. But it's not right to be disagreeable. There's a big difference. The Holy Spirit is present with us. We celebrate that today and every day. The Holy Spirit binds us together as one, the body of Christ. And finally, for our purpose, the Holy Spirit equips us for the work that we have to do. And what is that work? It's a question worth asking, isn't it? The work is the same in every age, to share the good news of God and his love. And how great is the need for that in our world, in our country, in our community today. One of the central images of the Pentecost event is the fact that the silence was broken and believers began speaking in tongues. Those who were there heard the gospel message proclaimed in their own language. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit gave the church something to say, not just to some people, but to all people throughout the whole wide world. As Peter explained what was happening, he drew the attention of the people to the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. They shall speak in my name. My friends, the church has a message. We have a gospel to declare. In word and action, we are to continue the work our Saviour began by reaching out beyond our doors into our communities, out to where the people are. People who are looking for more than what this world has to give. People who are hurting and in need of healing. People who are lost and who long to be found. People who feel unloved and want to belong. For everyone at the table there is room. Love God, said Jesus, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. It's a big ask, isn't it, to continue the work of Jesus, the saving, transforming work that he began. It can be daunting. But throughout my ministry, I have found great comfort in these words. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those he calls. And I have found that to be true, as I'm sure you have as well. We don't have to do the work of Christ on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the power that we need to do that. And that strength and that power is such nothing can stand in its way. And therefore, as we look to the future, we have great hope. The Holy Spirit is present with us. The Holy Spirit binds us together as one, the body of the living Christ. The Holy Spirit equips and empowers us for all that we have to do in Jesus' name and for his sake. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We sing as our communion hymn, hymn 655, to the tune Abbot's Lay, for your generous providing which sustains us all our days. 655. On the reverse of the order of service, you will find various responses which you are invited to say, if you wish, as we celebrate the sacrament. There is also at the bottom of the page a response that you may wish to say during the communion prayer. When I say, Holy Spirit, come, you respond, if you wish, fill us with your peace. This is the Lord's table. He invites all who love him to sit with him and share in this joyful feast. Dear friends, hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. do this in memory of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us also draw near to God and offer him our prayers and thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Almighty God, rejoicing in your goodness and mercy, we give you thanks for the privilege of gathering at your table and for your love, which is such you gave Jesus Christ for the life of the world. Therefore, with your people of all places and times, and with the whole company of heaven, we praise you for his birth, death, resurrection, and ascension. And we rejoice that he is ever present with us through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Gracious God, we pray for the world and for countries torn by conflict, for leaders of vision, integrity, and compassion, for systems of justice and the flourishing of human rights. Holy Spirit, come. We pray for this land and for the people of this parish and the wider community, for families buckling under pressure, for children neglected and forgotten, for those isolated in their home, anxious and alone, for neighbours sharing kindness and love. Holy Spirit, come. Lord God, we pray for the church, the body of Christ in the world. When the church seeks power, show us the way of service. When the church is wrapped up in its rituals, teach us the secret of simplicity. When the church becomes despondent or afraid, give us faith, hope, and love. Holy Spirit, come. Almighty God, we pray for the sick and for the sad. As a congregation, we remember the families and friends of Irene Kerr, Sandra Corr, Willie Rourke, Sandra MacDonald, and Danny MacPhail. Strengthen them and all in our thoughts with your presence. Sustain them by your promises and comfort them from above. Holy Spirit, come. Gracious God, we pray for our families and friends, and we give thanks for the communion of saints, remembering your faithful servants and those dear to us who are with you in heaven. Keep us in unbroken fellowship with them, and bring us at the last to the joy of your eternal kingdom. And now, O God, may it please you to send down your Holy Spirit to bless us and these your gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of your dear Son, and that we may become for you his living body, loving and caring for the world until the dawning of the perfect day. Holy Spirit, come. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in memory of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. The things of God for the people of God. Eat this, the bread of heaven. Drink this, the cup of salvation. Thank you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you glory, thanks, and praise for the dying and undying love of our Saviour Jesus Christ. In your great goodness, you have brought us into communion with him and with all who love him, and you have made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom. By your grace, may we continue in this holy fellowship and live our lives to your eternal praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I remind you that tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served along with some chocolate cake following the service. Please do remain behind if you can. The closing hymn 594, 594, we omit verse 4. Omit verse 4 of hymn 594. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you. Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you, now and forevermore.